Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house. He is the great I am. He is he which was. He's exactly the same as he which is. And the exact same one that is to come again and again and again. He is the everlasting Father. The eternal presence of life. He is your joy and your peace and your hope. He is the confidence that rises up inside of yourself. He is the eternal, everlasting Father. He is the ageless one. He is the ancient one of days. He is the Lord ever present. He is the Lord Almighty. And he's here with us today, right here, right now. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout in the house. Come on. Come on. Give the Lord a shout. Come on. Give the Lord a shout. Come on. Come on. Come on. Give the Lord a shout. Are you glad to be alive today? Isn't it great to be alive? Isn't it great to be able to live and to move and to have your being? Isn't life amazing? Jesus said, I am the way. And there just, if you believe this, there just isn't any other way. A lot of times we try to navigate through different things, different chapters of our lives, different ideas, different desires, different wishes. We make different plans and we hope that God would be incorporated and involved in it. But Jesus said, I am the way. He said, call on me and I'll tell you what to do. He said, call on me and I'll answer you. God said, I'll show you great and mighty things so beyond, it will stagger your imagination. Beyond, exceedingly, abundantly, and above. Rejoice. 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 Chara. Chara. Rejoice. Charo. Be glad. Rejoice. This is a day that God has made. And he's orchestrating such incredible things. Most empowering gift that God has given you is the power, the gift of choice. We get to choose to obey God. Demons can't make that claim. Demons can't choose to do their will. They can't. You may think they can, but they have no choice. When God says it, they have to respond. But God gives you opportunity. God gives man choice. He doesn't just command you. His word in you is the command of life through you. But we are the creation that God has made that have the power of choice. We get to choose to believe. Now that can either be really, really bad, or it can be really, really good. When Jesus spoke, spirits had to respond. Didn't matter whether they had a will or not. They had no choice but to respond. The word of God commanded them. They didn't have, spirits don't have the gift to decide, I'm going to obey. They can believe, they can obey, but they're not blessed when they do, but you are. That's a gift. That's the gift from God. For God so loved you that he gave you the power to choose Christ and believe that he is the way, the only way. He is the truth. The only existence, the only body form that really exists, the only true reality, the only true essence that says this is the way that it is. And there is no other way. Everything else is fictitious. It's a specter. It's an illusion. But the reality of God dwells and abides in you. And then God says, I'm going to make a dwelling place for myself. How incredible that of all the things God could have done, of all the places he could have chosen to dwell, that he created a void. And again, think about this. Think about it. Come on, think about it. There never was a nothing. Because God has always been, and God is everything. So nothing or void or emptiness never existed. Remember that? Never existed until God created it. And God created this sphere. And He created the heavens. And the Word says the earth was void. The first time there is a void, because God's Spirit fills all things. But God left that void for His creative purpose. You are a part of that void. And what God is doing today, He's doing a lot with ego. Everybody know what ego is? Ego takes up a great deal of space. But God likes the void, because He creates in the void. Your faith creates the void. Your faith says, I know what to do when I don't know what to do. I know what to do when I don't know what to do. Some people say, what you gonna do when you don't know what to do? What I'm gonna do when I don't know what to do? But there's a presence, the presence of the Lord, a form, a glory that says, I know what to do when I don't know what to do. I'm gonna praise Him. So amazing. Yes, I know what to do when I don't know what to do. I know to praise Him. So amazing. You know? I know what to do when I don't know what to do. I know to praise Him. He's so amazing. The answer to all things is praise the Lord at all times. Bless His name. Let His praise continually be the answer of your mouth. Because when the presence of praise and worship is inside of you, something happens on the outside of you. God becomes your cloak, your clothing, the covering that removes all shame, all doubt, all fear, all uncertainty. And the glory of the Lord becomes the certainty of your life. God is removing the excess. He calls it pruning. Or the refiner's fire. Thank God for the refiner's fire. It's good. Thank God for the refiner fire. It's good. I'll say. Thank God for the refiner fire. It's good. It makes me hurrah. It makes me glad. It makes me joyful. And then it just begins to pour out of me. Haro. Haro. I just start rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. And when I do, something takes place in my mind. And I start transforming into the likeness of the thoughts of the image of God. And then I begin to see the glory of the Lord and the kingdom of God make Himself manifest in and through me. And everything's going to be all right. All right, all right. Everything's going to be all right. Come on. Invite all right. Invite all right. Come on. Invite all right. Better than ever. Beyond what it's ever been before. God is doing a new thing. He's doing a brand new thing. God is doing a new thing. He's doing a brand new thing. God doesn't appreciate ego in His place, in His house, in His sanctuary. So He brings it low, makes it empty. It has to go. And when He does, and as He does, and as He's doing today, ego presented appears like an enemy, but surrendered, it becomes a friend. To Nebuchadnezzar, God said, I'm going to take your ego and I'm going to make you a friend to my people, because I love you too. I want you to praise me. I want you to worship me in a way you haven't done before. God's saying to you, Matthew Crouch, God is the one doing. God is the one that kindled the fire through the king's frustration, irritation, bringing low the ego that says no. God says, let go. Give me my space. I'll do a wonder. Give me that place. all do a new thing. For the Lord has said to you, Matt, I have driven you like a chisel through stone. I have brought you through the other side. I have shown you a humble and contrite spirit before me, says the Lord. But I'm not finished with the work that I will do, for I will do a great thing so far beyond your expectations, so far beyond your rational thinking, that you will stand in awe of those around you, even the ones that doubted you, even the ones that say we will push against you. If the Lord stands, who can push against the glory of what God has said? No one, says the Spirit of grace. And the Lord will make such a sound from your faith, the collective faith of you and Lori, that God says it will be heard and it will sound like a new sound. It will sound revolutionary, new, different. God right now is stirring the faith of those around you in ways you don't even know. People you've not met, people you've not heard from, people that are watching you. They're watching your response. So what do? You continue to walk in the faith and the glory that God has called you to. You continue to walk in the anointing of consecration, sanctification, and humility before the living God. They're waiting to hear your response. Let it be. I bless the Lord at all times. He has ordered my steps. And what better way could I go? What better path could I take than the path of faith and surrender and trust that God is leading me in all things? And to rejoice when my faith is tried, for in that fullness and completeness takes its place and the Lord is glorified in it. This is that day. Only good can happen to you. Give the Lord a shout. Andrew, your skill, your gift does not make the sound that pleases the Lord, but your faith to worship makes the sound. You have found your anointing. You have tasted the oil that's run down your head on your tongue. And it is savory and sweet at the same time. And it is the anointing to worship and to call attention, to bring the body of Christ to a place of worship. And in this, God exalts higher than you could imagine. The Lord has adjusted you for over 3 years to bring you into an understanding of what your position and your anointing and your call is. And still the Lord agitates you. Still God troubles you, as the pool of Bethesda is troubled from the heavens of God. And yet the Lord stands outside the troubling of that water, and that's where you stand. And you see the water troubled and troubled by heaven, and yet God says, but Christ is standing outside of the pool. There is no waiting time. So the Lord is taking the distance between he and worshipers. Through you and the anointing, God is making it a very present moment right here, right now, that every time you stand by the faith of worship, the revelation that came through your faith, God, bring your spirit and your presence through me when I stand. Step into a room, God, walk in with me and let your glory be made known. Clothe me in your glory and in your presence. Let worship convey your presence. The Lord conveys his glory through you. You have found your anointing. And you've only just begun. This is the greatest season of your life. Elevation, transformation, adoration. To God be the glory, honor, and praise. Give the Lord praise in the house today. Something sweeping over my soul. Something so good, so powerful, I just can't let go. The presence of the Lord abides my spirit and my soul. God says, hold on tight, because where I'm taking you, not everyone is willing to go. Walk with me and I will walk with you. Talk with me and I will talk to you. Listen for me and you will hear my voice. And those around you will know. What the Lord is saying today, they will know. When God is speaking, they will know. Surrounding glory of God. The glories of God are endless. they continue to be revealed. But it is the awareness of worship that makes you a part of that glory, even though God has chosen you to be a part. Your choice to be a part is the unity that God desires between His creation and Himself, that we choose who we will serve, that we choose to worship God, that we choose to make His word and His will first place. For to be carnally minded is death. It's a cloak of blindness. It's as silent as the grave. But to be spiritually minded is a removal of the blinders. It is the opener of the eyes. It is the refreshing of your soul. It makes you happy. It makes you joyful. The definition of unhappiness is finding your will and doing it. The definition of unhappiness is choosing your will above God and asking God to make it right. But the definition of joy, the definition of happiness, the definition of fulfillment is to choose to believe God. To choose to surrender your heart and your mind to the will, the word, and the wisdom of the Lord. Not just to seek what your gift is, what your talent is, what you're capable of, the next thing that you will do. It's not that. But how God will reveal His glory through you. God has placed things so close before you. And it is the unveiling by the glory of the Lord that lets you see how blessed you are where you are. And then to incorporate what God has placed right before your eyes. And then you encourage, you speak life into that. Into He, into she, all that God has given you. The Lord has not kept it far from you. So many look for the presence and the glory of the Lord as a distant thing. Something afar off. But the glory of God is so ever present with you. And God wants you to sow out of that so you experience the glory of the Lord that changes your mind, gives you peace, removes that hardness of your heart, and opens the awareness of your eyes to the will of God. And in that is the blessing and the favor and the joy. You feel like something brand new, born of the Spirit, made alive. And in that void of surrender, God brings the fullness of all that He has called you to be and all that He has chosen you to receive. And this is that day. If you believe it, give the Lord praise. It's in the surrender of your will to the will of the Father. You can take your seats this morning. Father, we worship You. Your glory and Your goodness and Your mercy and Your wisdom and You are the justifier. You are the testifier. You testify through us. Faith has a sound. Like a stringed instrument. Don't make me play the guitar again. The instrument makes no sound. The strings make no sound. The disruption is what makes the sound. When they're interrupted. When there's an interruption of all the waves and all the echoes and all the chambers are filled with disruption. A guitar makes a sound because it's filled with disruption. And it absorbs that sound and then it echoes and it makes, each instrument makes a different sound. But the instrument doesn't make a sound without disruption. So James says it like this, your faith has a sound. Count it all joy when you're interrupted. When you're interrupted, when your will is interrupted. There, hear me. There is no peace without interruption. And there is no satisfaction without response to the will of the Lord. Ignoring the arrogance of your will. Your will is very arrogant. Your will is very defying. Paul said it like this. He said, In a natural sense, he said, it's within me to want to do my way. And even though I want to do what's right, he said, I oftentimes choose what is wrong. Now, it's important to understand what Paul is talking about and from what position he's talking. He's talking about a former self, a man of the law, a man of writing, a man of dignity, a man of influence. You can hear maybe just a little bit of arrogance as he begins to define he is wiser than the aged and he's well studied and more versed. And yet he says, but that was me then. This is me now. So he says, but now I thank God through Christ that I no longer serve that mind. But by the law of the Spirit, I serve the word of the living God. Matthew 6 and verse 10. It says, your kingdom come. And this statement, this verse is a response of Christ telling people this. I know you have a lot of things that you want. He said, just like the Gentiles, just like the religious, just like the non-believers, there's a variety of things that you would have me do. Or if you were to pray to me, you would ask me for things uncertain. You don't know it, but they're uncertain. They're temporary. They don't have any real body, any real essence that fulfills you, that makes you happy. But you continue to feed on these things. And he says they are arrogant. They are heirs of disappointment, misguidance. They are spirits of misdirection. And I'm not just talking, you know, we tend to think about, I'm not just talking about demon spirits, we tend to think of spirits just coming from the devil. But I want you to remember something. The devil can't do what he wants to do. He lost his estate, which means he lost the power to choose. May want to do a lot of things, but doesn't have the power to exercise his will. He lost that right. He has to do what God says. That's why when Jesus approached a man that was possessed with legions of demons, they cried out, why have you come to torture us before our time? And then they said, let us go into the swine. And Jesus says one word, go. They had no choice. No power to choose. We are validated as believers when we choose to believe against our will, the gravity of our feelings. Peace is outside the gravity of your emotions. God cannot satisfy you by satisfying your will. The word says that in order that the righteousness or the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the Spirit, and I'm reading out of Romans chapter 8, began with verse 4. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. And I'm reading out of ESV. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. That word is also silent as a grave, blindness, without awareness of the presence and the glory of God. When you do that, you take a lot of missteps. And what the word is conveying here, and what Jesus is telling us when he says, when you pray, pray this way. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Say, your kingdom come. 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 And oh my. Your kingdom come. It's a command. But it is a very present word. It means right here. It's not an awaiting word. Erhomai. Present word. Your kingdom. Erhomai. Your kingdom present come. It's a command. And what God is saying, when Jesus said to the people, the Pharisees said, show us the kingdom and we'll believe. They wouldn't believe no matter what he showed them. Because the natural mind cannot conceive the spiritual things of God. The word says they are enemies of God. You become an enemy with your will against God. And God, through His grace and His mercy, He continues to woo your heart and woo your mind. But it's time for a dividing. This is a very dividing time in our nation. This is a very dividing time in the Spirit. When you see nations dividing, it is not a natural thing. It is a spiritual event. It is a very climactic time. It's a very serious time. It means that we are about to produce a lot of fruit. It means some of the greatest events, some of the best fruit is going to take place that hasn't taken place in a long, long time. No, it's beyond that. Jesus says, I'm going to do exceeding. The word says exceeding abundant beyond all you know to ask or think according to the power of God that works through you. We stepped out. My daughter actually went outside on our front door a few days ago. And she came in and she said, Dad. Actually says, Daddy. I like that. She says, Daddy. She says, we have strawberries. And when she said that, just for a second, I'm like, what in the world? We don't have strawberries. What are you talking about? She says, Dad, we have strawberries and they're so good too. I know it's been hot, baby. How long have you been in the sun? What are you talking about? We have limes and lemons and oranges and tangerines, but I don't know, what are you talking about? She said, Daddy, there's a plant out there. And she said, there's strawberries all over it. And so I went outside and there's a patch of strawberry plant. And there's strawberries all over it. I hadn't even seen it before. I walk out in that out my front door every day. And I like simple things. I just like simple things. I like shining my shoes. I like watering flowers. I like building things. I just like doing things. I'm so thankful. I love to be creative. I love the creative ability of God. I love life. I'm thankful to God for the life He's given us. So every day I walk out this door, I've never seen those strawberries. I have watered a plant literally, has to be 2-3 feet away. But until she called my attention to it, I didn't see it. My eldest, Duray, planted a strawberry plant a year, 2 years? How long ago? About a year ago. I went out one day and the strawberry plant's gone. At least in my mind, I thought somebody pulled it up. I thought the gardener came out and pulled it up, thought it was a weed, threw it away, and I went, oh, well, you know, it's all right. What am I going to do now? A year later, it's not a little plant anymore. It's a patch of strawberry plants and strawberries like this wide. You never know what's going to grow in your yard. You never know what's taking place. You may think it's gone. You may think a season is gone. You may think God has brought you low. Listen to me. Hear me clearly. If God brings you low, it's only because He wants to take you higher than you've ever been. But He doesn't want anything to interrupt the rising of the plant. He wants it to be free. Everything that was around it is gone, and all that dominates that patch of dirt is strawberries. My daughter said, I want to plant a strawberry plant. Why did you want to plant it? It looked cute. And what? She wanted strawberries, so strawberries took place. If you make a choice to plant what God says, it will grow. And it doesn't matter if it looks like it disappears. The reality is that it can't grow until it disappears. Now, I don't know where it went, but I know where it is. Trig, God's saying this to you. God's working on you. God's doing something in you that's needed to be done. You're an 8-year-old boy. 8-year-old boy. And God begins to do a work on you. Some events. As an 8-year-old kid, God is working on you. To present day, the Lord has saved you. He has kept you alive. He has delivered you from choices that were not by the gravity of His will. He stirred your heart. And the world tapped on your shoulder and said, you can be like this. But God said, no, You'll never be like that. You'll be like this. And the like this that God is calling you to is something that you hadn't fully imagined. It's not a matter of steps to survive. It's a race to win. And the race is the race of your faith. From an 8-year-old boy where God first stirs your heart to present day when God says, I am the Lord ever with you to lead you, to guide you. I am shaping your mind and your will in a way you have never known. And the Lord has stirred a curiosity and a hunger in your heart that will not go away. You will have dreams and see things that you cannot explain. And God will reveal them as you continue to walk in confidence. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall. Don't be afraid of want. You won't. Just trust. You may not see everything you want, but He'll give you everything, not you need, everything that He has promised. And this is a season unlike any other for you. So the word of the Lord is, fear not, for I am the Lord who is with you, ever present. And the Lord will show you the things you've asked Him. Almost like, God, prove your presence with me. Prove you're walking with me. Give me some evidence. Watch and see. Watch and see. The Lord has plucked you out of thorns and positioned you in a place of wheat. Something that is bread, but not the bread of natural sowing, but the bread of life. Your life's going to be so transformed and turned around, 3 years from now, you won't know who you are. This is the day God has made. Called you, chosen you, anointed you, empowered you, positioned you. And why so much? Why so much word? Because there's more about your call than you possibly could imagine. There's more about your anointing that you could fathom in the deepest recesses of your imagination. He knows you're not worthy. If you thought you were, He couldn't speak to you. You wouldn't hear Him. But He knows the depth of your heart. He knows how deep your well is. And it's about to get a lot deeper. So I encourage and admonish you by the word of the living God. Be at peace. Seek Him with your whole heart. Don't seek for the outside. God will prove Himself from the inside and make Himself known. It's the greatest season of your life. And God will give you praise. Events and seasons and times, they change, they move. But God works with the will of man. It is His home. It is His resting place. It is His dwelling place. He's given us a choice to receive Christ, or you can deny Christ, to receive His word or to reject His word. But the words Jesus said when you pray, He said, pray this way. Pray, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. God knows what you have need of. We've heard that countless times. He knows what you have need of. But He knows that your need can't define who you are. Even answering your need doesn't define the true reality of who you are. So God gives you the opportunity to view your need and choose beyond it. God gives you the opportunity to look at the tree that looks good. It looks inviting. God planted it. Didn't God say everything He made was good? He said that. When He finished the garden, He said, everything I have made is good. But your faith would be powerless without choice. We get to choose. Because your faith is engrafted. It's a part of you. He's given to every individual a measure of faith. Everything you need. But where you employ that faith, to whom you believe, to what you choose, the attitude that you choose. Some walk with an arrogant spirit. You can look and you can say, that's arrogant. And some walk with an uncertain demeanor. Some walk with an uncertain mind. Some depreciate themselves more and think it humility. But it is not humility. It is resistance to the will of God. Because you don't feel insufficient to feel and receive the blessing and the fullness of God when you are surrendered to Him. You feel exalted in Him. You don't feel belittled. You don't feel little, too little, or not enough. You evaluate yourself based on the name of Jesus. In, we come, the word teaches us, come in His name, in the name of Jesus. When I pray, when I inquire of the Father, remember Jesus said, until now, He says, you've not asked the Father anything in my name. You've never done that. But He said, ask the Father in my name. He even said, you don't have to ask me anymore. He said, ask the Father in my name. And if you ask the Father in my name, He will do for you. Now, what Jesus is saying is literally, you and I walk before the Father. You come in my identity. You lay claim to my authority, my rule, my power, because you have received me for who I am. And I was sent so you could identify yourself through me, through the nature, not just a way to close out a prayer in the name of Jesus, or a way to start a message, but an identity of clarity, a resolve within your own mind. Simply saying, I come in the identity of Jesus Christ. I come in the fullness and the power in the working ministry of the anointing of God. I come in the equivalent of the Son of the living God. Arrogance can't do that. Surrender does that. Surrender yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you. You are not good enough to achieve the will of the Father, but you are full enough of His Spirit to do so. You are not the equivalent of God's will because you want it. You can walk in the equivalence of His will because you're hungry for it. You don't walk verse with power and authority because you stand up and say, I've got it. You do it because you say, He has it all and He's working it through me. Your kingdom come when you pray. He said, when you pray, I know what you have need of. The Father knows what you have need of. Pray, your kingdom come. Now, this wasn't a coming from afar. This is a command. This is a present tense. This is an appearance. Greek words have a lot of relationship to one another. Hara, haro, haris. Hara, joy. Haro, rejoice. Haris is grace. But they're all related. And it's through the triad, through the three, that we find the blessing of the Lord. Because of His grace, I get to rejoice. And when I rejoice, I'm just filled with joy. James says, count it all joy when the trying of your faith takes place. Because that wouldn't happen unless God had something bigger and better than where you are. If God didn't have something that requires your faith to express it, you wouldn't be tried. You'd be as silent as the grave. But because God is stirring your heart and your mind, because God is saying, my kingdom come, my will be done in you. See, God's kingdom comes when His will is being done. God's kingdom is present when His will is being done. God's glory is being revealed today. Jesus said, I come quickly. He meant what He said. He said what He meant. He's here. He's here. He's here in His glory. He's here in every way that He's with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's here in every way that He was with Moses. He's here as He was in the beginning of creation. And all things were created by Him and through Him. And without Him was not anything made that had been created. Of Him, through Him, to Him. God doesn't do things from the exterior. God does everything from the interior. God is a spirit, and when He creates through Himself. God created through Christ. All things were created. Jesus is responsible for everything created, the Word tells us. Everything. The Word. And the Word made an appearance. The coming of the Lord. The kingdom of God. And the Word made an appearance. And they called Him Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. People say, are you a post, pre, mid, partial preterist, full preterist? I say, I am an Emmanuelist. Matthew 1:23. and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. I am a God with us sort of guy. I never invite God's presence into a room. I seek to enter his presence because he is the fullness of all things. His glory fills the whole earth. He said, seek me and you'll find me. His presence is fullness. And his presence is fullness in you. His presence is power. His presence is power in you. God isn't going to bend your ego a little bit and see if we can work around it. God's going to remove it. So be good with that. He's going to surrender you so he can exalt you. So just like these strawberry plants, it's going to be a surprise what God does. You're going to step out one day and say, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that was in my yard. I went out, I picked a couple of them, I washed them off, I ate them, and I went, something so good was literally feet away from me, from where I stand every single day, literally just a few feet away, 2-3 feet away, and I'd never tasted it before. I gave it to my wife. And she said, man, these are good. There's something so sweet in just a couple of feet. And God is saying, the strawberries are with you. It's amazing what we're blinded to when we're used to looking at things we're used to being around. You don't know the you that you are until you find the you you didn't know you were. You don't know who you are until you find the you didn't know you were. Your flesh will deprive you of the excellent of who you are. See, grace doesn't mean God's just going to wipe it away and God is just going to forgive you. Grace, the grace of God means that God anticipates your arrival. He anticipates you entering into the glory because God, in essence, is love, and love just wants to embrace. Love just wants to hold. Love just wants to caress. Love just wants to be a part. The word says, you know the love of God is in you, and without it, you're none of his. He says, you'll know when the love of God is in you, because love is not selfish. Love is not self-seeking. It dismisses itself in order to embrace someone else. It dismisses its attitude and its ideas in order to show the love of the Father. Every one of you should be ministering in some way. Zeal, there's an anointing call that has started to rise up on the inside of you. God has quickened you with an identity that's stronger than the one you used to have. God has encouraged you to be bold in your faith and bold in your understanding and bold in your revelation. And this is that season. This is that time. God is doing a new thing. The gift that breathes and coos beside you is God's gift to you to bring balance and unity in many ways that were so needed. A gift. I remember when you told me that you were pregnant, and I said, this is a necessary thing. This is going to bring balance and unity and power. Your strawberry is in your yard. And he's the cutest little thing. His name is Noah. He's going to build an ark. He's going to be a musician. He's going to play the drums. And the bass. He's gifted. He's going to sing. He's going to sing in heaven. He's going to worship in the kingdom of God. Where was that kingdom again? Where could we find it? We have to wait for it. It's coming soon. It's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Soon is an interesting word. Soon. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Soon to God means now. Soon to God means ever present with you. See, God is with you in all of his fullness. Think about this. He is with you. I mean, what do you think? God like takes a finger off and throws it to the earth, or maybe, you know, takes a few hairs or plucks off an ear and he's kind of partially with you, or he just sticks his toe in the earth and says, I'm a little bit here. God is omnipresent. It doesn't just mean he's here. It means he's here in all that he is. When Christ appeared is an important word too. Soon appeared. When Christ appeared, the glory of the Father, the word said, inhabited his faith. He had to be obedient. He had to be responsive. The true victory happened in the garden. So the power of the cross stood out as a symbol of forever and eternity. Spoiled principalities, powers, made an open display of them, triumphed them over them in it all. What that literally means is God cleansed your conscience. Demons and devils were already powerless. No initiative to exercise their will without your choice. Every spirit wants to access your choice. Your choice. Your choice is like honey. Your choice is desired. Your choice is a tasty morsel. Your choice is covenanted. Your choice is your gift. And when by choice you surrender yourself, the word called it, Paul said, I beseech you. Paul had a revelation. He says, I urge you by the mercies of Almighty God. Make the choice to present yourself as a living sacrifice. If you do unto God, you'll be holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And then your reasoning will become clear. Your reasoning will become worship. Do you know that word reasoning and worship mean in reasoning, in worship, you come into solidarity, you come into union, you become wise in your reasoning and your understanding. Simply, your worship makes you wise. Your worship involves you with the intellect of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, again, is the mind of God. You want to know how a king thinks? Look at his kingdom. You want to know how a king's mind works? Look at his kingdom. Look at his home. Look at what he surrounds himself with. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It is not a changing kingdom. It is an enduring, everlasting kingdom. It is fullness. It is completeness. There isn't, hear me, there isn't anything outside of God that will ever satisfy your craving soul. But it is an apple in the garden to deceive your mind and blind your conscious awareness. And the word says, and then this becomes death to you. You don't have to even consider that. If you surrender yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, Paul says, present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. That is your reasonable service. If God accepts you as righteous and holy, don't make your presentation in the earth as though you're not. See, it's all about the approach. It's all about the approach. It's all about the approach. What is your approach? What is your approach? I wouldn't approach you in a pair of shorts. I have no confidence. If I put a pair of shorts on and stepped up here, you'd see me in a way you've never seen me before. I would look insecure. Now, isn't that there's anything wrong with these glorious legs? It's just that, like, they're none of your business. They are my hidden glory. But what you wear, again, you have to own it. And God says righteousness fits you. It fits you. Wear it with confidence. Wear it like it fits you. It fits you. Wear it to a degree that exceeds your ability. See, being fit is fit in Christ, for God so loved. So he said, my expression of love is to give you confidence, not through anything you could do or not do, but through whom you believe in. Your will kill you. Your will is death. Your will is a deception. Your will is an illusion. Your will steal, strip, and rob your mind. It will disrupt your world. But my will will bring you peace and confidence and awareness and alertness. All you have to know, Matt Crouch, is that it works out according to the will of the Lord. It is so incredible. It is going to blow your mind. No one can touch what is in the hand of God and get away with it. But anyone that tries to put their hand on what God has confirmed will either be blessed by it and drawn in, or will be set aside and trained to honor the anointing of God. What a comfortable place to be. In the furnace was a very comfortable place for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but the emotions would have said, I will be terrified. See, we make choices that are not equivalent to our true identity because we are uncertain about who we really are. So we make stupid choices. I've made a few, not many. Okay, maybe a lot. But then I learned that the power of choice is a decision that has to be made on overcoming my will, or I am in trouble. I have a will just like you do. Jesus had a will just like you do. He was tempted in all like points or all manners, depending on what version you read, as you are in every single way, tempted in every way as you are. But he made a choice to believe God. In the garden he said, Father, not my will. So he had one. Not my will. Because my will would say, God, if there's another way. But not my will, your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. Let's step here for a minute. Possession or influence by an evil spirit is when you think ideas that are not of God are your own. You're deceived. You take them to yourself. I consider that possession. You're possessed with an idea that doesn't belong to you and didn't come from God. Very misdirecting. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes and you surrender yourself, thy kingdom come. Present through me who you are and your kingdom is. Then clarity comes and no weapon formed against you will prosper. If you will, you could trail through legions of spirits, evil or otherwise, and not know the difference, because the glory of the Lord, yea, though I walk through the valley of Sheol, the shadow of death. Do you hear what he's saying? I could walk through hell, and I would fear no evil, because you are with me. Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is that? Direction, correction. What brings comfort? When God corrects our ideas, our attitude, our mind, our thoughts. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Correction, direction, instruction, they comfort me. But when you resist it, you're like a sheep gone away from the flock. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Then God says, even in the presence of your enemies, I could prepare a table before you. Your cup would run over. Only goodness and mercy would follow you all the days of your life because you dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Only good can happen to you. Only good. Every spirit, if God requires, God says, I am not a man, I am a spirit. But God required a vessel of faith so he could demonstrate his fullness through faith. Because the word says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's say it like this. God will not be fully manifest until he does it through a union of faith. God is for always and forever. The angels didn't know the fullness of God until Christ took on a vessel. Then they knew what salvation meant. Salvation, what is that? What is man that you're mindful of him? The sons of men that you visit him. No eye has seen. That word literally means angelic first and then human. No ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God had already prepared. But he's revealing it to heaven and earth through you. That's how important your choice and your faith is. That's how important your trying time is. It's so validating. It's so important. It's so necessary. You're living in the body of faith. See, sometimes you walk in faith for a while, like Abraham did, because God gave Abraham a promise. But the promise only came through Abraham's choice. God says, take your son, your only begotten son. This represented a lot more than just a son. This represents his reputation. It represents his future, his destiny, his dignity. It represents everything. God says, bring it up and give it to me. Sometimes we just don't want to give God what we claim is ours. But if you have something that you're not willing to give to God, then you're a robber, you're a thief, you're a deceiver, and you're deceived. Because everything that man has comes from God. All things come from the Father. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father in love, of love, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't change his mind. But God is mindful of you to bring the most incredible, the best, the joy, the peace, the wisdom. But he can't give it to you in the clutter of envy or strife or arrogance or bitterness or jealousy or gossip. The I thought you should just know, or the let's pray for so-and-so. And you know what you're saying is, I want to gossip about him, but we have to do it churchy so it doesn't sound like gossip. Let's pray for brother so-and-so. You have to know how to own the righteousness of God that clothes you. You have to know the power of choice. You have to know that when it feels like God abases you, that what he's really doing is he's putting some strawberries in your yard that you're not aware of. Something you hadn't expected, something you haven't anticipated. Put it in the ground. It looks like it's gone, disappeared, gone away. God did this with Abraham. Abraham just believed God. He obeyed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God said, now I know. Now I know your will belongs to me. And I will bless you. And God blessed him and blessed him and continued to bless him. We call him Father Abraham, Father of Faith. We still declare his name today. Faithfulness, peace, power, joy, resolve, just feeling good. Just to feel good all the time. To feel good about who you are. To make the selection of the best. Because you know how to wear. You know how to own your salvation. It's a gift from God. It's not something, and you can say, well, he said, you haven't chosen me, I have chosen you. Yes, he did. He chose you. But you have to choose to believe him in order to receive him. No power, God himself, will not override your choice. He will not make you do his will. Demons, he makes them do his will. They have no choice. They have to do what you say. They have no power to exercise their will, no matter what they want. What they would want is to inhabit your choice. But God wants you to choose to be inhabited by his. Your choice. Your kingdom come. That word come literally is a present, not a past tense, not something afar off. That word carries a command. It's a request as a command. Come. Forth, it means come out, not come from afar. The expression of that Greek word, and it's related in many ways, it's an appearance, it's a presentation. What he's saying is your kingdom be presented. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, when they're asking, where is it? He says, it doesn't come with observation. You can't see it coming because it's not coming like you think. He said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's within you. And in order for the kingdom of God to be presented, God's going to disrupt arenas of your will. What's being messed with? Your will. Your uncertainty. Your pride. Your arrogance. Your fear is being messed with. Because faith has a sound that God wants to hear. He wants to hear your praises. Because when he does, he unionizes you. He brings you into the unity of his faith and of the Son of God. He brings you into the fullness of what joy really feels like, what peace really feels like, what happiness really feels like, what it feels like to be good and feel good all the time. So God says, I don't want you to try faith. I don't want you to exercise faith. Anyone exercise? Anyone in the house ever exercise? Do you exercise like nonstop? Anyone exercise nonstop? Just get in there and just crank out. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. No, you exercise for a period of time. God didn't say exercise your faith. I know that's been preached, but that's actually not scriptural. You don't exercise your faith because you don't do it very long. You live by faith. Live. Live by faith. I live by faith. Anyone ever stop breathing for a day? No? Because the Ruach of God, not just breath in my nostrils, but the spirit of His will abides in you, and God wills that you live. I can breathe. Every morning when you're asleep, you're breathing. Life is on the inside of you because God has chosen you to live. You can't do without it. It's not an exercise. Let's do some breathing exercises. You do that very long, you're going to pass out. It's not an exercise. It's life. You breathe. It's your nature. It's your response to the will of the Father. You're alive because He's chosen you to live. That's why you're alive. He's chosen you to live. I'm alive because He's chosen me to live. I'm alive because He is alive in me. He is the way. He is the truth. God, I don't want anything outside of You and Your will. That's salvation. That's grace. That's mercy. That's truth. That's life. That's born again. And the flesh resists. And God says, it's a good thing. Because now you're going to see the power that I put in you. Dominion, the power to rise up by choosing the Word of God. I choose to believe. God gives you a prophetic word. Where is it? When is it coming to pass? And God says, when do you think, Abraham? When do you think, Caleb? Caleb goes up with the other 11, 10, Caleb and Joshua, the two believe. They go up to see the land of Canaan. They go and they look at their prize, and their prize looks too heavy. Your prize looks too heavy, doesn't it? Your prize looks like too much. Yeah, what God said is just too much. They went and they looked and they went, you've got to be kidding me. Not only are there giants inside, there are giants outside. They're not just, you realize they weren't just inside the wall, right? Do you know that? They're outside. They're all around. They were watching the outside from the inside and the inside from the outside. And the 12 spies went up to bring back a report. God's asking you to bring back a report. And 10 of them went up and said, oh, man, I know what God said, and it is flowing with milk and honey, but nothing we're tasting. Those cows are so big, there's no way you can even milk them. I mean, you can't even carry the grapes. One man can't say, here's some grapes, honey. You need a pole to carry those things. They're too big, too much, and they're doing it like it's nothing. We feel like we're grasshoppers in their sight, and if they see us, they'll think the same. But Caleb had a different spirit. It wasn't what he felt. It wasn't what he thought. It was what he remembered. He remembered, and he says, I remembered the word of the prophet. I remembered the word of God. Not only are we able, but we don't have to prepare to go in. We're able today to go in and to succeed because that victory on the inside of you is not your contending for a prize, it's you believing that He is the prize. His word is the prize. It was the word of God that was the land of promise. God tried to get that through their heads all the way in the wilderness. See, it didn't matter whether the rock bled or not, and it did. It didn't matter that the sky rained down bread and quail. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what God did. It didn't matter that they could see Him as a fire, pillar of fire at night and the cloud that kept them shaded in the day. None of it mattered because your senses will not determine true reality regarding who you are. Only your choice to believe the Word of God does. And when you do, that's when your mind begins to change. You begin to think differently. You begin to feel different. You know there's a difference. It's called being born again, being filled with the Spirit. Your greatest gift is the power of choice. No one else has it but you. I can choose. God commands his angels, and they respond. Angels can command spirits, they respond. There's no war like you think. Read the word. Who can contend with God? Is there any? The word says no. Fictitious bunch of hooey. Man-made designs and ideas. There is no enemy of God except your disobedience. And the reason it's an enemy is because God loves you so much. He wants you to enjoy the goodness of the Lord, peace. He wants to bring you into what he has for you. And he's clothed you. There's strawberries in my yard. They look great. They taste great. And they were 2 feet away from where I water a plant all the time. I walk right past. I walk over and pick tangerines and oranges and never saw it until my daughter said, Dad, there's strawberries. I'm telling you, there's strawberries in your yard today. The goodness of the Lord is in your yard today, but you're going to have to look for it. And you have to stop looking at everything else. If God said something, you need to look at what God said and don't think about, don't act on anything else but what God said. You need to act like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King, we know you're ruler. We know you have the power to destroy. We see your furnace there is about to melt because you've heated it 7 times hotter than it's used to being heated. So it's just about to melt right here, right now. But nonetheless, O king, we'll not be slow to answer you. We will certainly not bow down to our will or to your God. We serve the true and living God. And we know that our God is able to deliver us, and he's able to bless us, and he's able to keep us. So do whatever you need to do. But as for us, we'll not serve you. We'll not serve the flesh. We'll not serve our fear. We'll not serve your command. We'll serve the true and living God. And God threw them in. And they were in the safest place they could have been. Safest place they could have been. And you know my phrase. The king says, can you boys come out? And what did they say? Yes, we can. But king, can you come in? And the answer was, no, I can't. God has you in the safest haven. He has you in the safest place. It doesn't matter what the king's command is. What matters is what God's word is. God's word is the command. God's word is the order of the future. God's word will come to pass. And only good can happen to you. This is the greatest season of your life. See it for what it is. Apprehend the will and the word of God. Surrender yourselves under the mighty hand of God. If you have bitterness or jealousy or envy, don't rebuke it. Just walk away from it. Don't cast it out. It can't attach itself to you. You have power. Your soul has to respond to you. You have the power of choice. You have the word of God. You have the call of the Lord on your life. Your words mean something. Your faith has a sound and God wants to hear it. He wants to hear you renounce your bitterness, your envy, your hatred, your strife, your hatred of the past, your hatred of yourself, your insecurities. He wants you to renounce it. Doesn't mean you have to get up there and say, I renounce this and I renounce, forget it. All you're doing is remembering what you're not. He just wants you to say, Father, your kingdom come. Your kingdom make its appearance, your presentation through me. How? By your will being done in me. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Come. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Come. Come out. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Erhomai. Your kingdom. Come, Erhomai. Appear, Erhomai. Let's go, Erhomai. Haro. Hara. Haris, I have joy. and rejoice. Haris, your grace, your mercy, Jesus. Erchomai, Erchomai, come, appear, make your presentation. The kingdom of God rules and reigns in the earth. The kingdom of God is bringing change. The election is by choice. God has chosen you, but you have to choose back. That's the power of your union. That's your dominion. Regret is happening all over the world today. Regret of decisions. So principalities, governments, powers will try to conceal and hide. They will lie about them in high and low places. They will try to stir up a market that they call their own. This is a new economy, they will say. But God says, I will crush that economy. And I will say, those that tell the truth, I will make them tell the truth. I will make them tell the truth. It is in the truth that you will see the flourishing economy. The economy is not one of resources. The economy is one of the blessing of the Lord. And God blessed the earth. And God said, be fruitful and multiply, increase. So bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. The North rises up and says, our plan is to strike such fear that they will negotiate with us based on our terms, that we may have a greater portion. All but greed. And God says, no. I will make you bow your knee and humble your head. And you will have to come in and say, we'll do it your way. For those that stand in righteousness and truth, do you not know that the governments rest upon the shoulders of our God and his Christ? And that the Lord, he is the one that reigns and rules. So fear not when you see nation rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. All these things have to come to pass. But the kingdom of God is being revealed. The kingdom of God is being called on. Faith has a sound. You are instruments of righteousness. And the Lord is strumming the strings of your purpose, saying, make a sound of faith and obedience to me. If you will trust me and obey me, you'll know my peace. You'll know my joy. You'll know my confidence. And you will minister. You will be a minister, not a disruptor. You'll be an instrument of joy, not an instrument of contention and uncertainty. You'll be an instrument of peace. You will love. Love is that which takes concern of itself at the last. The word says it does not seek its own, but it seeks the welfare of others. Love. If the love of God abide in you, think about ministering. Think about speaking into someone's life. Think about your life being that instrument of blessing and favor. Come out of the spirit of death and blindness. Forget your past. Forget what someone has said. Live and be strong. Live and be well. Live and be at peace. Live and be at peace. Let your mind be certain. What God says about you is that he has chosen you to live, to be clear-hearted and clear-minded, to be at peace and to be strong. Terry, put your hand on your friend right here. This lady right here, yes. Yep, right there. The blessing of the Lord rests on you. The peace of God, the joy of the Lord fills you. God touched you with a sense of calm and peace the last time you were here. So the Lord says it is to continue. Peace and joy. Don't worry about yourself. God has you in his hand. Don't believe what others say about you. I believe you have been misdiagnosed. I believe that health abides you. I believe that strength abides your mind. I believe that peace and joy and wisdom consumes you. Not as something being destroyed, but something being involved, like part of the flame. So you're not burned by the flame, meaning things people say, things people do. Things have fallen away, it appears. Promises made, thoughts, ideas changed in the middle. But God says, I'm doing the change around you. I'll keep you. I'll hold you. God loves you. Be at peace and be confident. You will rejoice, dance. I see you dancing. I see you dancing like as a little girl dance. You are a dancing little girl. And the Lord says, you'll dance and dance and dance again. Dance in your heart. Rejoice in the Lord. I see you skipping, running. Very active child. Very active child. Extremely active. The youth of your childhood come through you again. God, reignite and renew that joy and anticipation of life. Not death, life. Look for the future. It abides in you. This is the greatest season of your life. God, we give you praise. Worship you, Lord. We rejoice in your presence. We rejoice in your glory. We rejoice in who you are. Great is God, greatly is the Lord with us, ever present, ever power, ever truth. The only true reality, there is no other. Hear, O nations of the earth, the Lord our God, he is one God, one Lord. He is the only truth. He is the only existence that remains. There is no other. Hear, O heavens. Give ear, O earth, for the Lord God has spoken. Your kingdom come. Let it come forth from your people. Your will be done in these earthen vessels. Let it mirror heaven, because it looks a lot different here than it does there. Therefore you said, let them bear our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion, and let them occupy in faith and obedience to your word. And you sent your word. God, we honor you, we praise you, we love you. We thank you that we know to bow before you, to worship, to praise you, to seek you. What an honor to be able to worship you, to know to worship you, the true only living God. Lord, how great you are in all your ways. Magnificent are you. Anton, you're running in the spirit right now and you don't even know it. You know why? You're just occupied with believing and being obedient to the word of God. That's all you've been able to. God has, you know, on a horse, they'll put these blinders on either side. And the reason they do is so it can't be distracted from what is on the side. If an animal or a snake rears up, they don't raise up and throw the rider off the horse. It's been as though God has narrowed your vision by your faith and obedience. You've been in a full-on run. You're on horseback and you're running, 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 running as the strength, as if it were a warrior's horse, strong, courageous, certain. On the back of this horse that you ride is the faith that you set upon. The faith that you ride on. You're going through towns. This horse can run on water. This horse can leap over trees. This horse is valiant. It's courageous. It's courage. It's strength. But this horse is not an animal. It is not a beast. It is a spirit. And the spirit is your faith. So run. Man of youth and strength, run. Run, run, run. For the Lord God is with you. God will give you praise. We worship you, Lord. And the evidence of your presence and your spirit and your power, God, your wonder is magnificent. Donnie, God didn't bring you this far to be still, to stop. There's more to go, so much more to go, so much more to do. The Lord has healed your heart. But the only reason he did that is because there's so much more to do. The strength of your heart, the vigor of your spirit. The Lord knows your prayer and your supplication. I hear you praying. I hear you praying in the morning. I see you sitting. I see a small table. I see you sitting, sipping something. I see the Word of God. So you do read the Word. That's a good thing. And just say, Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. But look for the will. Look for the will. Look for the will. Look for the will of the Lord. It is present with you. It's the strawberries 2 feet away from your feet. This is a day of excitement. God anticipates your arrival. He anticipates your faith, your entrance into his presence and into his kingdom. God anticipates your movement of faith. He anticipates the sound of your faith. It's unlike any other specific part of the body of Christ. God loves you. Who would you talk to? Who would you lean on? Who would you rely on? The one that's given you life. The one that's called you by name. This is a time for a closer relationship in recognition of the presence of the Lord than you've had ever. The Lord's had his hand on you. It's from the days of being a 6-year-old little boy. God has kept you and clothed you and covered you. God saved your life when you were a young child. God brought you up to present day. And the Lord says, I've walked with you every step of the way. There was a time in your life when you made the greatest leap. It's like leaping over a canyon that you couldn't possibly cross. But you did it. And you're here today as a witness. It's not just what God is doing. It's what he has done. But in what he has done is a covenant to you that he'll never stop doing. Be encouraged. Rejoice in the Lord. For the Lord God is with you. Give God praise in the house. Father, we worship you. We love you. We praise you. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Exalt the name of the Lord together. Exalt the Lord in all his wonder. I hear the sound like crashing thunder. Something I hear makes me wonder. Has he appeared? Is he present? Is he with us? Soon is now, and now is soon. Today is the day the Lord has made, and we rejoice in the gladness of God. We rejoice in it. We rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Father, we worship you today. We love and we praise you. Our obedience to your word is our worship. It means we truly believe God. Abraham believed God, but Abraham had to demonstrate his belief through his actions. And then God said, now I know, and now the blessing will come. Come on, God's going to try all your faith. Joseph, the word says, God proved him with his word. God's going to prove you with his word. You have to do it right, and right is in you. And right is your will, your kingdom come. Your will and your will alone be done, Father, in me as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. If you receive that, give the Lord a shout in the house today. Come on.